we would be spoken to, and we would be able to walk near to you. And we thank you, Father, for all these things. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
All right, so we talked last week. We looked at kind of like a recap of Leviticus. We looked at several passages. Just looking at, and these are the things that we talked about, kind of this concept of touching, consuming these that are unclean for the purposes of establishing a concept of holiness, which is both moral and ritual purity within the camp of Israel. So when we think about Leviticus, last week we said we want to think about God's holiness, right? And that demonstrated through God's presence in their midst, right? So that's a concept. We're going to add to that today so that there are concepts of holiness that we want to continue to grasp, right? But when we think Leviticus, we want to think holiness first in the sense of God's presence, and then we're going to look at another aspect today. But that's what we've been seeing in Leviticus, a lot of these things. And I said, make sure you come today, because when we look at these areas right here, do we eat these things? Do we contact things? You know, what do we do about mold and mildew? I find mold and mildew in my shower. I told you that I have bad skin disease. I don't think I have leprosy. But I've had skin disease that I think is, I don't know if it's skin disease, but I've had skin problems that on my leg. Is it too much to tell you guys? Is it too much information? Is it too much information,
yes,
Bex?
Yes, too much.
Okay. Let's just say, no, I want to tell, because it connects with this, honey.
Tell it.
Tell it.
Yes, tell it.
Tell it. So on the back of my leg, I had this itchy spot, and it was like kind of dry and itchy, but it's behind my leg, so I'd always itch it. You know, before you go to sleep, you're like itching something.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh man, it's getting like really itchy. I can't really see it. I don't know what it is. I don't use lotion.
That'd be too easy.
I don't use lotion. I don't like lotion. It's too greasy. And then so one day I was like, Bex, is it like something? And then so she was showing me, right? You know, I don't know why I didn't just use a mirror, but she's, you know, so I show Bex, she's, whoa, there is like, it's like a perfect circle. There's like a ring or something like that. I'm like, is this like psoriasis? Is this like eczema? I have no idea. What is this? She goes, maybe it's like, it's a ring. It's a perfect, it's like a ringworm. I'm like, ringworms? What does ringworms mean? Is it because I was sitting in the grass too long? Like worms like came in and made a perfect circle on my leg. I don't know what it was. But what ringworm is, I've had ringworm. That's kind of gross, right? Ringworm is actually just a skin disease or disorder.
Fungal infection.
So I had mold, fungus, something like that on my skin. So I may not have left. Savi's coming in like, what? That's gross. Okay, so I've had fungus on my skin, on my leg, right? That was on my skin. And then CJ, because he's never changing his socks or his cleats, his cleats are already like used by 5 people by now. He was always saying, oh, my foot is itchy, my foot is itchy, itchy. We looked at it, we discovered he has another type of fungal infection on the skin called athlete's foot, right? Or Shangangjiao is what we say in Chinese, right? Hangangjiao, right? Right? Is that how you say it? Hangangjiao, right? On my Canto people, is that how you say it?
No,
I just made that up. It sounds so real. Hangangjiao, Hangangjiao. I was like, what is it? How do you say it? How do you say it? Hangangjiao. See, right there. It was just a little turn of the girl. Hangangjiao, right? So anyways, he had Hangangjiao, and I had ringworm. So if you ever get ringworm, it looks like a perfect circle. Okay, well, I'm not gonna draw to the presence of God here. it's like my itchy part was like that, and it had like this kind of like this dotted ring. It's fascinating. And I just couldn't see it in the back. It was really cool though. But anyway, so I had all that to say, there was mold on my skin. Fungus, okay? There's fungus on CJ's foot, right? So is it possible to have fungus, mold on our skin? Yes. Is that an issue? The word I said is sarat, which is actually not limited to leprosy. So it's just kind of mold, mildew. Same word sarat is the mold, mildew in the house. So we see all these things, and I said, though, you want to come back today because we're going to connect these dots of, like, what this is all about. So we began to see first that there was this system in place, okay? And so Leviticus, the law, was given in the time of Exodus, the book of Exodus, the laws given, Moses, Mount Sinai, remember, right? Holiness of God there. The law comes to his people. And then all these things. And Leviticus, the way they live like this goes on for the next 1,000 years. The people of Israel who have to live in the camp with all these laws governing holiness so that God's presence can dwell here in the Holy of Holies, right? Or the most holy place. So there's the activity of all the priests. We looked at the outline of Leviticus. The first half has to do with right worship, the priests, the tabernacle, all the cleansing before we go in. And it also talks about what's called the annual Day of Atonement, which we might know today as, have you guys ever heard of the Jewish celebration called Yom, what? Finish the word?
Kippur.
Yes, Yom Kippur. That's Day of Atonement. That's one day of the year set from the book of Leviticus where the high priest can go into the most holy place inside the curtain, right? Inside the curtain. Once a year, but there has to be serious cleansing going on, right, to come into God's presence. I don't know if it was ever proven, but I remember hearing from Pastor Elton that they would tie a rope in the high priest as he goes into the most holy place for Yom Kippur, the one day of atonement that year. Why would they tie in a rope for him to go in around his waist? I heard this from Pat. If he can't get out, what does it mean? He's stuck? If he dies, because he would die. And we saw in Leviticus, if you did your devotions, the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, right, who offered up sacrifices and fragrances to God that were not part of right worship. They were not in the law's way. And as a result, these two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, what happened to them? They died because they didn't follow God's prescription. And so, again, I don't know. You guys could do research on it if you want. I actually never did. I just thought about it every now and then. It was always funny to me, and I remember hearing it from Pastor Elton when I was in college, that the high priest would tie a string around him when he goes into here, because if he didn't cleanse his feet right or go through a proper procedure of preparing himself, following the law, no one else can go inside the curtain to get his dead body out. So then, as Preston said, there's no movement. And they're pulling on the string. He's been there for a long time. Uh-oh. High priest messed up. High priest didn't follow right worship. Let's pull him out. Again, I don't know if that's true or not. You know, we could do our research on that. You know, anyone who's curious can do a little study. And then don't don't just Google it. You know, of course, you want to make sure it's a good site. You know, the site's too colorful and there's a lot of rainbows on there and weird pictures. Probably not a good site to follow. But if you find different resources that talked about it. Anyway, so that's that picture. But we saw that in the first half of God's law in Leviticus prescribing right worship. And then the second half was about right relationships with people. And a lot of these things came into that process, right? Until 1,000 years later, we were saying, we looked at Isaiah last week, okay? And so what I want you to do is just spend a moment first, because last week I jumped the gun. That was the last 5 minutes. We jumped the gun. We kind of went to the whole touching part, and we're going to talk about that again. But just for a moment here, as we dwell on God's holiness, I love, this is a common text that we're familiar with. Can we just read it, and then in your little group, make some observations about God's holiness here. What are some observations? Again, these are just observations. They're not right or wrong necessarily, right or wrong type things. It's just more for discussion and for us to be able to grasp ideas. So read it and then talk about it in your groups. Let's have one person read it out loud for us, and then we'll let you guys make your observations in your group. Okay, can I have a volunteer to read that for us?
In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for."
Okay. So talk about that in your groups. A lot of little things to observe in here. A lot of little things to observe as we've been thinking about God's holiness. Okay. Let's make some observations and see what observations your group comes up with, okay? So just talk in a group of 2 or 3. No more than 2 or 3. I think it helps to have more discussion. Okay, so go ahead and get together, and I'll give you guys about 5 minutes. Okay, great. Let's start with this group. What do you guys think right here? Anything? What's just one observation? Let's just choose one thing, and we're going to kind of go around and see what you guys all pick up. It's probably all very similar, so don't worry about it.
For us, well, at least me, I think that my observation of God's holiness is like how vastly holy he is.
How vastly holy, okay.
Because even like the seraphim, which I'm extremely sure is that much better than myself.
Okay, so he's saying the seraphim, which are better than myself, or he's extremely sure. Yeah. Better than, so do you mean yourself? Do you mean humankind people?
Definitely me.
Okay, definitely. Okay.
I don't want to speak for humankind.
Okay.
But definitely me. But even the seraphim, who's that much better, is like still like respectful and like trying to like know of God's holiness. He's still covering his face, still covering his feet.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So that's a big observation already, right? That even this angel, this seraphim, is already who is at next level, Preston says, above himself, okay, is already, and by that he means facetiously like humankind. Angels are already at a higher level creation than humankind from the context of being in God's proximity. Even the angel is, he says, super respectful, and is it respect, do you think, that is causing him to cover his face and his feet? Do you think it's respect as a group? The president said respect.
Among other things.
Among other things. What might it be if it's not just respect?
Acknowledgement.
Huh?
Acknowledgement.
Okay, acknowledgement. Okay. So it's acknowledging God's holiness. It's respect for God's holiness. Anybody have a different take to that?
Unworthiness.
Okay. Worthiness.
Unworthiness.
Okay.
Fear. Good.
Okay, fear. Now there's a fear concept. Fear is a different gauge than respect. Unworthiness, fear, Kai?
It's something similar to God's presence, where his nature requires certain way things are to be.
Okay, or it is the proper way that they know when we are before God's presence, we must cover, right? We don't know that, right? But that's an observation. It's the rule to be before God's presence to cover yourself. Okay, so we have anything else to add? I like it. That's great. See, so from one observation of Seraphim, we have concepts of respect for God's holiness and presence. The word you used was
acknowledgement.
For God's presence, holiness, Mimi, unworthiness, a fear, a proper way of worship is what Kai was saying. Good. Okay, good. Wow. Okay, so that's giving us a picture already. What else? Next group down. Maybe I found a new group today. Oh, I like it. New location. I'm not used to it. It's hot there, huh?
I think it was just like the seraphim part, all that, and then I thought, you've hammered on this like a couple of times. It was the holy, holy, holy part.
Okay, there's you observe the holy, holy, holy. Yes. So what is significant about that?
It's the fact that instead of something just being like holy, you're like magnifying its importance.
Okay, magnifying the importance.
I like hammering it.
Okay, good, good, good. Okay, good observation. Good. Next group. Okay, the bigness of God's presence, okay.
He's lifted high, filled with angels, with smoke and throne.
Okay, right. There's like this whole ethereal kind of bigness about God. Okay. And that describes what about his holiness, do you think? What is that bigness? What is that kind of describing? Okay, omnipresence, even though it's not omnipresence in this sense, it's like actually in a location. But what do you mean by bigness? I'm going to dig on that. You guys want to help Mimi? What do you guys get a feeling of? She says high and lifted up, the Lord on the throne. There's like this whole aspect of the whole house was filled with smoke. And there's, right, that whole thing, bigness. Give me some words. Awesomeness. Okay, yes?
Uncontainable.
Uncontainable what? What's uncontainable? His glory, his presence, his power. What? What'd you say?
His robe.
His robe? Okay, yeah, his robe. For sure, for sure, for sure. I like what you guys are doing here. I wish I did smartboard with this. This is great.
There's also a lot of the word filled and
filled.
Full.
So great, like great. It's not your turn yet. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. It's open. Filled,
well,
full,
like
yes.
Tray,
Nancy's
filled,
picking up on something.
And you have the whole earth is full of
yes.
the glory. The
yes.
house is filled with smoke. And
right.
even
Good.
The burning coal is so hot that right. an angel needs to be calm.
Okay,
like
so.
Beyond.
Right.
What we can imagine.
Okay, something. Okay, so let's go with those two observations. Nancy's bringing up, like, look at the words, fullness, filled. That whole concept, the house was filled with smoke. All of this immensity of someone used a word, I think Lucy said, like, power. We use glory, power. So holiness is giving us this picture of, oh, man, it's, Mimi said, uncontainable. But this power is so big, but at the same time, there's this a sense of like, with the coal, Nancy said, even the seraphim couldn't touch it. Even the coal couldn't be touched. The purifying substance couldn't be touched. It's representing something. But even that coal has to be handled with tongs. So something about that coal is tying in with God's holiness. Like, it just can't be touched. And when it touches, it has an effect. Right? Interesting. Good. Great. Great observations. Anything else? How about back table? Anything there?
I have one more word I'd like to use to describe this. Maybe it's appropriate. Cavernous.
Cavernous. Uncontainable. I like it. Oh, man. See, this is where you guys got to start busting out SAT. Right? That's what SAT's for. And words. Because we start becoming inarticulate when we describe things. That's why at home, every day, we try to have our children describe their day to us, right? What do, Kev? What do we say? We say, what are your what today made you mad and sad and glad, right? We do that every day. We try to, just to get them in the habit, because they're not even used to describing the day, let alone their own emotions. Right? So good, cavernous. All that to say, let's practice using our words, right? And stretching our vocabulary to try to do that. I always struggle with that. My vocabulary is so limited. But I like that. Good. Any observation in the back, though, about this text? In addition? It's okay if there's not.
Did we mention the coal already?
Okay, yes. What about the coal? Okay, yeah, well, I didn't jump there, yes, but yes. Right? There's this thing called what? What do we call it in the Bible? We saw like some foreshadowing, right? And or a type of Christ, right? So this picture of even this coal, though, now, when Nancy talked about it with Tim's observation now, it's like even this coal is represented in this grand, untouchable, uncontainable power, right? That is, any other observations before I keep going? Yes.
I was just gonna say, it's interesting that all of the senses, you know, just to think about his response of just saying, oh my goodness, I'm lost, you know, woe is me, because you have the sight, the sense of the sight, you see the throne high and lifted up, is just a magnificent sight. You see the train filling the temple. You hear like the echoing calling to one another. It's a sound, the holy, 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 so your ears. You smell the smoke. You're feeling the earthquake. The thing that touches your mouth, the hot, you know. So every single one of his senses is overwhelmed, like, wow, to the max degree. And then you're standing there as a human, and you're just like, I'm doomed, you know.
Right.
Like, this, like,
right.
Experience,
right,
for him.
Great.
Every sense is like,
great,
maxed out.
Yeah, isn't that cool? Isn't that cool how as we see this, Cindy's saying, like, every sense of his is being maxed by God's presence, his holiness. And yet it's not a, you know, we see different reactions, though, right? We see different reactions, because she's pointing to the senses of Isaiah in this vision, who feels everything, who smells it, tastes it, you know, can feel the shaking. And she said he is overwhelmed, and he is, what was the word you used? Doomed. Doomed. Okay? So doomed is one response, right? Doomed. I am doomed. His woe is me is, I am cursed. I am doomed. I am cursed. I am lost. I am in front of all of this. All my senses are maxed out. This power of God's presence and holiness, this is too much. I am dead. That's one response. Because my eyes are looking at, in a vision, the king. He's not even physically, okay, remember, this is a vision. He's not even physically seeing this. It's all kind of this this vision in his mind. My eyes have seen, and I'm dead. I'm dead. I'm cursed. Woe is me. That's one response. What would you say of that? That's almost making God's presence. It's the same concept of the high priest having a rope tied around him if he needs to be pulled out. Because then God's presence is almost, in a sense, what's the word? How would we describe God's presence then and his holiness? It's what? It's what? Dangerous. It's freaky. It's
overwhelming.
There's nothing like this. This is too much for me. I'm going to be destroyed. It, right? Like, if I'm out of the camp, that's one thing, right? If I'm out of the camp, but it's almost as if the closer I get into the presence of God, the closer I get in, the more I'm going to get scorched, right? The more I'm dead. So in Exodus, when God's holiness is on Mount Sinai, remember, the people don't even want to go up. They're like, uh-uh. And God's like, no, have them all come. No. Because we have a sense. We're already sensing the mountain. It's shaking. There's cloud. There's smoke. No bueno. This is not good for me. Like, you go, Moses. You go. Because it's too much for us. Because the closer we get, like, we don't mess. That's why I kept saying the kid playing in the corner who's got ringworm and stuff like that, he's got to know how to deal with his skin disorder, right? And most people are going to be playing on the fringes. These guys are trained to know for thousand year plus, you know, you just don't mess around. Like, when I was a kid, when I see a caution sign, I'm like, when a sign says warning, do not cross this line, it's telling me, go. Come. You must see what is over there. You must. But kids growing up here is like that. No. There's no sign. You don't mess with that. You die. It's just, you're dead. And I marvel at the fact that there's no stories of like a young stupid child who like climbed the fence of the tabernacle and just got in and was just like, I got, curiosity is gonna kill me today. You know, like, I just gotta see what's behind the veil. I wanna look at the ark. There's no story of that, praise God, right? So we have this picture of danger, but Cindy's bringing up one perspective. One perspective. What's the other perspective? What's the other response? Yes?
So, like, when looking at the seraphims,
yes,
the way that they approach and
yes,
worshiping God,
yes,
the other perspective, where it's not just overwhelming, but it could still be overwhelming for them, but it draws them much closer to his glory.
Right. Right. So, what is their response then to God's holiness? What do they see of God's presence and holiness? Huh? It's worthy of praise. Why? Because now is his holiness to them? Yes, I think there's an aspect of there's danger. Okay, there's danger when we're in close proximity to God's presence and holiness. So we have to cover. Right? There's a covering response. We talked about that in this group over here. There's covering and even the angels. Come on, even the angels are like covering and being careful and proper in God's holiness. His danger is still there, but why are they worshiping him? Why is he worthy? Because his presence and his holiness is not just dangerous, it's what? What would you say? Why do they want to be around it? They do. So then it's drawing them because it's, I don't know,
glorious.
What are some other words?
Curious.
Okay, curious. Yeah, yes, could be. But it's amazing. God's presence is amazing. God's presence is glorious.
Majestic.
It's majestic. Why would you go to something unless it was good? Right? So you have like this. Yep.
I kind of think back to like the verse where it says, like, I saw the Lord sitting on.
Yeah.
That aspect of like just kind of what Mimi said, like his bigness encompasses all of it. That picture of us, even the angels, just being around him.
Right.
It's like kind of like the planet and the moon revolves around the sun. We're just being drawn in.
Yes, right. Right. So the sun is a great example. I think we came up with that as well, right? Because from the sun, is the sun good or bad?
Good.
The sun is, well, it's good. And it's bad the closer you get to it, right? Like, we are in a perfect proximity from the sun, right? The earth, scientifically speaking, is in a perfect orbit, perfect distance from the sun, so that the sun actually gives life and there's goodness to the sun. But are there any astronauts volunteering to land on the sun? No way. Because the closer in proximity you get to the sun, it's good. This presence is good. This presence among God's people is good. But it's dangerous. You got to be careful. And this, as Dr. Wong was pointing to, right, Tim was bringing up that, like, this is the transition. And Nancy was saying, look, something is tying with this coal has to do with all of this, the linkage. And she brought that in right when she was talking about all the fullness of God and his presence and holiness. This coal has something to do with that, because even the angels, when the seraphim was bringing the coal over, they couldn't even touch it. So it is a representation of Jesus in that sense, that Jesus being God has all of the attributes, quality of God's goodness and glory, but also dangerousness. Yeah. Wow. So what do we get then for over hundreds of years where they're practicing this, and Isaiah says, I see something in the future. I see something happening where we can't touch this stuff. We're under a system where we cannot touch these things because it makes us unclean. And we're super careful in the camp. But now we see, I see this picture where the ain't God sending someone to touch me, even though I'm overwhelmed. Right now I'm so close to God and I'm not clean. I'm not clean. See, notice his language. I am unclean. And I can't do this. I'm undone. I'm doomed. And yet God's saying, I'm sending this to you, and when it touches you now, your guilt is taken away. And your sin, okay, this is a concept. This sin is atoned for. That's big. That's a big transition. Right? So instead of now seeing this stuff being touching on you and spreading, now you see unclean people. You get a picture of unclean people, an acknowledgement that I'm unclean before God, and now the coal is touching me, and it's giving me cleanness and a whole new, I'm going to use the word system. Okay, a whole new system is coming, right? That's why we need to understand, when we talk about these things, when we read the law, when we get into all of this stuff, why was the Mosaic law given? Why all this stuff? Why all these Book of Leviticus? And when we, how are we to understand it about not eating shellfish, not touching dead bodies? Because there's these other verses too. In Leviticus 19, it says, you shall not let your cattle breed with a different kind. Good thing we're not even cattle breeders. Because you can't, according to Levitical law, to the Mosaic law. Because that's not right. you shall not sow your field with two different kind of seed. Well, anybody who's a gardener, Freeman and me, who else is a gardener in this room? Anybody else gardens? Me. Okay. Well, Mimi, Freeman, you have a little area for plants, this little field. Do you put different seeds down? You should not. Because it says two different kinds of seed. You shall not. Well, how many of you make clothing here? Anybody make clothing? Who makes clothing here besides Bex? Bex used to sew clothes and wear it, right? I think it's really funny and cute, right? But did you ever stitch together a garment of cloth made of two kinds of material? Actually, it doesn't even talk about making. You shall not wear a garment of two. Nancy, you're examining polyester and cotton. She lifts up her dress. Well, don't lift it. Oh, that's her dress. I'm like, whoa. He's like, okay. So Nancy's sweater here is made up of two different kinds of material. You shall not, Nancy. Sin! Burn it! Okay? You shall not wear a garment of cloth. Man. See, this is right there in the law. You shall not round off the hair of your temples or mar the edges of your beard. Who's got a beard going on this morning? Anybody? Okay? Okay? Timmy could grow a beard out, right? Can you? Can you grow out a beard for us by next week? But you cannot mar the edges of your beard. I don't even know what that means. But I think it means you can't trim it. Okay? So it just got to be burly. Burly beard. You got to go all out horizontal on us, right? Okay? And you shall not round off the hair on your temples. Anybody trim your temple hair? Okay, none of us are boys are like that, right? But anybody does? Yeah, probably not. If you do, I worry about you, okay? But people do that. People do that. Because I've been to a barber where they're like, hey, you want me to clean up the lineup. It's called the lineup. Okay, I guess that's what it's called, right? And have you had it done before?
No. I just saw it in the barbershop.
Okay, yes. They do it in the barbershop to men a lot. They're like, ooh, it's a little bit unclean. Got a lot of baby hairs here. We're going to line it up. Zzz, and they're gonna round off the hair on your temples. We can't do that. You have to tell the barber, according to Levitical law, the Mosaic law, I cannot do this. I must not. Okay, how many of you women have, this is crazy, right? I don't like to talk about this, but I put it in here. This is your menstrual stuff. When a woman has a discharge, and the discharge in her body's blood, she shall be in her menstrual impurity. You're impure for 7 days. Whoever touches her shall be unclean. So therefore, if my wife is on her menstrual cycle thing, and I even touch her, I'm now unclean. Her uncleanness has spread to me. This is, I think this affected me. Because I think that is really unclean, you know? And I don't like the women stuff. But maybe it's because the Levitical law has stayed with me. And I misunderstood this. And I'm wondering, how does this apply to me? And everything she sits on shall be unclean. We shouldn't even use pews. Because our pews are every month, I'm sure, contaminated. Just because the physical act of sitting on it, according to Levitical law. Okay, Bex is like, time is up. And homosexuality. How can we abide by this anymore? Should we abide by this? You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination. Okay, so how do we make sense of this? Yeah? You guys with me? Unfortunately, I got to come back next week because Bex has time. Right? So how do we make sense of all these things? How does the Mosaic law apply to us today as a believer? Because some of you like to hold on to these things, like me. I'm like, honey, you're unclean. I can't hold my hand. No. No holding hands for 7 days. Because according to Leviticus, for 7 days you are unclean. Don't sit on the car, honey. You're gonna unclean the car. Okay? Children, do not sit on mommy's dining seat. Table, you know. Don't sit on that. because you will be unclean. We got to understand this. We have to understand this, and that's what we're going to do next week. Right? Because just like we began to see through Isaiah a foreshadowing of the future, we're going to look at two passages that are going to foresee a new system for us to understand. Yeah? Okay? Great. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for today. And it was a very invigorating and enlightening process, God, to read together through the first few verses of Isaiah chapter 6 and make the observations that we made. And we're living on this side of the testaments. We're living on this side of the Bible in the new. And yet when we look back to the old, there is so much to learn and grasp. And perhaps today there is too much comfort and familiarity with these words, holiness and the presence of God, where only until we look backwards and we see how the people of Israel and under the Mosaic law helped to bring a greater sense of reverence and good fear, so that the people recognize both the goodness but also the danger of being too comfortable or too familiar with the presence of God. I pray that you help us to allow your spirit to perhaps reset our framework and help our understanding so that our worship of you would be more alive and appropriate. Maybe when we think of you, God, we need to have a greater reverence and a greater appreciation of the closeness you've provided for us in Christ. Help us with that, we pray. And that is not a man, that's not going to be achieved by our own efforts. That also needs to be a work of you upon our hearts. So that you help us to understand how we ought to approach you. Because today you've allowed us to call you Abba, Father. And you have given us confidence to approach the throne, is what the scripture says to us. Bold confidence to approach the throne. How can we do that? In an appreciative way, full of gratitude, but also not losing the reverence and the respect we need to have before our holy God. Thank you, Lord, for this, and we pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.